Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're hearing this broadcast during the first half of the 3 o'clock hour, of course, that's Central Time, well, Bob, Richard, and I would love to share this program with you live. You can pose a question to us right now. You call 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. And that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. Otherwise, you can use that same number and record your question and comment or comment, and we'll be glad to address it soon on Basic Gospel. But once again, that number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about emotions this month, and we all have emotions. You know, that's what makes life so worth living is the fact that we get to feel life. We get to feel heartache. We get to feel pain. We get to feel sorrow. But we feel happiness. We feel elation. We feel all of those emotions. And that's the flavor of life, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So we don't want to be emotionless as far as human beings are concerned. We want to experience those things, but sometimes we get trapped by our emotions. We get into things like fear and guilt and shame and anxiety and anger, and we can't get out of those emotional kind of pits, so to speak. And when we get there, we want to figure out a way out. Well, there was a way we got in, and that was based on the things that we were thinking, the things that we were processing up there in those minds of ours, and that's what eventually led us to those emotional responses, and we continued to think about those thoughts, and so those emotions just lingered until they took a stronghold in our lives. They took a firm grip on our day-to-day existence. Well, we need to get out of that pit in the same way we got into it, with our thinking. We have to start rethinking our situation. Why? Because emotions always flow from our thoughts. That's just the way God designed us to be. Emotions follow our thinking. So if you're angry, it's because you're thinking angry thoughts. If you're jealous, it's because you're thinking jealous thoughts. So here's what Jesus had to say about this. He said, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." So what is Jesus proposing here? He is proposing that we listen to him, that we listen to his words. Why? Because his words are truth. And then if we listen to these words of truth and then put those words of truth into action, here's what's going to happen. We're going to be like the man who built his house on the rock. And when the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock.
Yes.
So Jesus Christ wants us to build our lives on the foundation of Christ himself and his word. Why? Because his word is truth. That's where we need to build our lives, right on truth. Well, when we build our lives on truth, then we're going to be able to weather the storms of life. Now, you look at this, this is a feelings-neutral statement. So you hear the words of Jesus, you put them into action. Feelings aren't mentioned in that. So a lot of people out there, they're waiting for their feelings to come in line with what they want to do. When I feel like it, that's when I'll step out and do something. Well, if that's your posture, if that's your disposition, if that's your attitude, you're never going to do whatever it is you think you should be doing. Why? Because your feelings are never going to match up with that. So you have to hear the words of Jesus and make the choice to put those words into action, regardless of what you're feeling. As you hear the truth, as you act on the truth, that's going to do something in these minds up there. It's going to be a renewed mind, and then our feelings are going to follow suit.
Yes.
Now, here's the opposite of that. "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. A lot of times we will hear the words of Jesus, and we will choose not to put them into action. Why? Because our feelings are telling us something different. We don't feel like it. We want to follow our feelings. Well, when we follow our feelings, we're building our house on sand, and when the storms come, it's going to be a mighty fall. So here's the battleground. It's not the feelings. It's in these minds of ours. Are we going to believe truth, or are we going to believe error? Satan wants us to believe lies. The world is throwing out a bunch of error at us. But in Jesus, we will hear truth, truth that will set us free. So listen to Jesus, regardless of what you're feeling at any given moment, and decide to put his words into practice. That will be a life built on a solid rock that will withstand the storms of life and that will mature and grow and be a blessing to everyone around you. Listen to Jesus, put his words into practice. Life will be good for you.
Absolutely. Well, friends, if you have a question about the range of emotions we all experience every day, we would love for you to be a part of this live broadcast. And if you're hearing it during the first half of the 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time hour, well, we would love to hear from you live, as I said, at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, by the way, 844-322-2742. Give us a call right now. You know, Basic Gospel is, friends, a listener-supported program, and as we approach the end of our fiscal year on June 30th, we continue to work toward our stated goal of $280,000 to meet our budget. Yes, that's a lot of money, but it's not very much when we consider the ability of God working through his people. So we ask you to be a part of something very, very special, what he is doing through Basic Gospel. Your partnership is not only vital, it is very deeply appreciated, too. When you make that call to 844-322-2742 or click that link at basicgospel.net to make your gift, you'll receive a special message by Richard Pfeiffer and Bob Christopher called The Breakout, our way of saying thank you for standing with us. Again, make your gift to basicgospel.net by calling 844-322-2742 or by visiting our website online, basicgospel.net, a prominent link right there on the home page. Well, again, we have a question from James in Littleton, Colorado, guys, and he asks, how do we know the difference between walking in our own strength or walking in the strength of Jesus?
Well, it's a really good question, and I think it really gets down to walking in the flesh or walking in the spirit. Mm-hmm. I think we need to look at it in those terms. Paul did use the phrase human effort, or at least the NIV translates his writings in the book of Galatians, human effort. And he asked that question, and he poses it or begins it with this, you foolish Galatians.
Yeah, apparently they got it wrong.
That's right. Why, you know, having received the Spirit, are you now trying to perfect yourselves through human effort? And so that's another way of saying you're walking in the flesh. You're relying upon your own understanding instead of relying on the truth of the Word of God. And as a result, you are coming up with your own way of walking this path of righteousness. And so that's going to have to be through rules, through regulations, through stipulations, through all of those sort of things, and you're going to find out they don't work, that you're going to fall flat on your face. But if you walk in the Spirit, in other words, you live out the desires that God's Spirit is placing in you, then you're going to find joy and peace in your day-to-day life. That's just as simple as it is, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. And if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior and a child of God, that means the Holy Spirit is living in you. The Spirit is not going to leave you alone to continue walking in the flesh. He's renewing your mind. He's going to keep telling you, this isn't working. And if you're not getting that message, if you're not saved, well, then the only thing you have is your flesh. So the whole crux of the question is, are you in Christ or are you not? If you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit will make sure that you get the message at some point in time that in this area of your life, you're doing it on your own, please give it to me.
Yes.
He will do that.
Yeah.
I know it because he's done it with me.
Right. And I know for me, You know, I was trying to be God's guy, and I was putting that all on my shoulders. I was trying to fight sin on my own, to be able to look at temptation, stare it right in the face and say, you know, I'm stronger, I'm more powerful. And boy, it just whipped me every single time. Yeah. So if you find yourself giving in to temptation, if you find yourself saying yes to sin instead of no to sin, it's because you're trying to do it through human effort. You're walking in the flesh, or walking after the flesh. You're in the spirit. You're always in the spirit if you're saved, but you're just giving in to fleshly desires. So if you're giving in to sinful temptations, you know you're doing it through human effort. Yeah. It's as simple as that. Only Jesus is more powerful than those temptations. Only his grace can teach you to say no. So if you're saying no, I guarantee you it's the work of God's Spirit in your life. If you are choosing to, you know, in a marriage situation, to learn to love your wife as Christ loves the church, you're doing that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. He's the only one that can lead you down that path and make those actions real in your life. So I think when you read the Word of God and you see what this Spirit-controlled life looks like, as far as love is concerned, and when you see that pouring out of you, then you know that that's the work of God's Spirit. If you see anything else pouring out of you, you know you're doing it on your own.
Yeah. It is Basic Gospel, everybody. We encourage your call. Again, it's you're listening during the first half of the 3 o'clock hour Central Time. You're hearing a live broadcast, and we would love to hear from you. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial, 844-322-2742.
Samuel is watching us on our Facebook Live program, and he has a couple of comments, but one that is very interesting to me. He says, I always find out that my poor judgments are always short of the truth. And it gets back to what we were saying at the top of the hour. Really, the battleground is between truth and error, isn't it?
Yes.
Jesus said, you will know the truth. Truth will set you free. Well, if it's truth that sets you free, what keeps you in bondage? Or what enslaves you? What ensnares you? What traps you? Well, it's lies, and it's also error. That's the battleground right there. And so we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Jesus called him the Spirit of Truth, and one of his jobs is to guide us into all truth. That's what the Spirit of God does inside of us. And so as he guides us into all truth, he gives us these sensors, these truth sensors, so we can exercise discernment. Yes. So we can be able to hear, for example, somebody speaking. And based on what the Spirit of Truth has taught us out of the Word of Truth, we're going to be able to say, hey, what he's saying isn't right. It doesn't line up with the clear teaching of the Word of God. A lot of people get trapped into cults, don't they?
Yes.
And why is that? Because they don't have discernment. They don't have those truth sensors. But once you get into the Word of God and see what truth is, it's easy to recognize cults. So there's a big question out there today. Is Mormonism Christian? Can you call it a Christian faith? Well, they believe in a works-based salvation. Well, does that line up with the truth of the Word of God? Does that line up with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9? For we are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift. It is not of ourselves. Does their works-based theology, their works-based salvation line up with that? Absolutely not. So are they believing truth or are they believing a lie? Now, salvation, eternal salvation. You better get that right.
Yeah.
You better build your life upon the foundation of truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If we're going to find out what salvation is all about, we better go to him. We better not just look to him as this great example for us to follow. Who can follow in his footsteps? Who can do what he did? Who can live the life that he lived? No one. Only Jesus could do that. That's what perfected him to the point where he could offer himself as the once for all sacrifice for sin. and to save us by grace. So that's why Jesus came, so that he could die in our place, be raised back to life, and give us his very life. That's a by grace through faith in Jesus proposition. So once we know truth, we're able to have a sense of discernment, and we're able to tell what's going on. The world is out there. It's relativism. It's truth is relative, whatever we want to make it. And yeah. So when we listen closely, we can see, wait a minute, there's no basis for what they're saying. There's no foundation there. We go back to truth. We discard that. Why? Because I don't want error in this mind. Why? Because when I let error up in this mind of mine, I know that I'm going to get trapped, and I'm going to feel that emotionally at some point in the future.
Yeah.
So where's the battleground? Up in the mind.
In your mind.
It's between truth and error.
Yeah. Well, Richard and Bob have a CD called The Breakout. We'd love for you to have a copy. It's a message to encourage you to respond to the eternal truths of the new covenant and experience thanksgiving, commitment, and contentment, and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Breakout is yours this month with your gift to Basic Gospel to help us meet our fiscal year-end budgeted goal of $280,000. That's how much we need, friends, between now and June 30th to make it through the end of the fiscal year, even with the world, so to speak. Well, click that prominent link at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go down to Austin, Texas, and talk with Howard. Hi, Howard. Welcome to Basic Gospel, my friend.
Hi. How are you?
We're doing fantastic.
Great. I was raised in a legalistic background, not so much in regard to salvation, but just the Christian walk. As a result, I have a difficult time sometimes distinguishing between the Holy Spirit and just my own tradition and background in regard to my daily walk. Can you give me some guidance in that regard?
Well, Howard, yeah, I think we can help you out there. You know, a lot of times legalism focuses your attention on you, and so you keep a scorecard, and you're always wondering how well you're doing in your Christian life. And so you wake up with some goals in mind, and then at the end of the day, you judge your day and determine if you lived up to those goals or if you failed. And if you failed, then you become harsh on yourself. You try a little bit harder the next day. And so you're putting the whole responsibility on your shoulders. And so your look is an inward gaze. You're looking at yourself, and you become very judgmental towards you, and you become judgmental toward others. The walk in the Spirit cast your eye upon Jesus. It focuses your attention on his work, both in his death to take away your sins, to declare you to be righteous in the sight of God, and on the work of his Spirit in and through you. So when you're walking in the Spirit, your eyes are going to be on Jesus. When you're walking through those legalistic traditions, your eyes are going to be on you. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It's just really difficult, you know, because I face things in life as all people do. And in the light of Scripture, there's nothing, you know, expressly in Scripture that shows something to be sinful, yet, you know, in this daily thing that I face, I still feel like, you know, when I'm engaged in certain things, even though based on Scripture they're not sinful, they seem to be. I don't know if that makes any sense, but
yeah, that's just
thank you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Howard, that's just a guilty conscience. You know,
yeah.
our consciences can be programmed, and they don't necessarily have to be programmed by the word of God. I mean, there are religious traditions that have said if you eat meat on Friday, that's a sin. And so there's a lot of people that recognize that there's nothing in the word of God that says that. And yet if they ate meat on a Friday, they would have a guilty sense about them.
And indigestion.
That could be true as well.
Right.
So that's not something that's out of the word of God. You know, I grew up down in the South, and we had the blue laws, and, you know, everything closed on Sunday, and, you know, and then stores started to open on Sundays, and things started to change, and for a while it was difficult to go shopping on Sunday just because I was programmed that way. I was brought up that way. The stores were closed on Sunday. This was a day of rest type of thing. So that wasn't, you know, you're not going to go in the Word of God and see anything that says all stores must close on Sunday, and if you go in, you've committed a sin. You're not going to find that. But there's guilty consciences that we have. And Paul talks about that in Romans chapters 13 and 14. So I would just suggest, Howard, that you take a read through those two chapters. I think they'll be helpful to you, and bringing you to this point of recognizing that Christ set you free so that you could experience freedom. And that freedom is in submitting yourself to the desires of the Spirit. And so just ask the Lord to reveal to you what the Spirit of God is doing inside of you, and then be free to submit. And I think you'll see life kind of changing for you.
Thank you for your help. I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome, Howard. You hold the line. We'll send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I go into a lot of detail on this as well in that book. So I would love to send you a copy, okay, my friend?
Thank you, sir.
Hey, you hang on the line. We'll send it right to you.
Yep.
Well, let's go to Bob in Keller, Texas, listening to us on The Word today. Hi, Bob.
Hi, I'm thankful that you let me come on the air. I have a question about some parts of eternal security. I know that you said today, as well as you always say, that accepting Christ as our Savior, it's once and for all. Now, that means you said in previous programs that past, present, and future sins are taken care of, and we needn't ask for forgiveness anymore of our sins. Is that right?
Well, Bob, that's based on the finished work of Jesus. So when we receive Christ, here's the good news, Bob. Christ comes to live inside of us, and he's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. So when it comes to our salvation, I think we have to ask the question, what did Jesus accomplish for us through his shed blood? And Scripture is very clear that he took away the sin of the world once and for all, that he forgave all of our sins. As John wrote in his first letter, I write to you, dear children, because your sins, so he would be saying this directly to you, Bob, your sins, Bob, have been forgiven because of the name of Jesus, on account of his name. So that's a past tense. So Christ shed blood, took away your sins once and for all. The minute you received Christ, you received him, and in him is redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So you have forgiveness, don't you? And it was,
it was
a part of that gift that God gave you in Christ.
Yes, but my question, the heart of my question is, you know, when I sin, especially if I sin in any grievous way, I feel sorry, and I feel that I should say to Jesus that I'm sorry for my sin. Even though I'm forgiven,
well, I need
to feel that I'm sorry.
Well, I agree with you, Bob.
Right there,
I know.
Yes.
You've recognized that what you've done has missed the mark of love and probably caused some harm, and there's a sorrow in your heart about that. And so you express that to the Lord, and then you say, Lord Jesus, thank you that your shed blood took care of that 2,000 years ago.
And I'm going to say we're out of time. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us for Basic Gospel. Bye-bye, everybody.